This is Joanna Schrader reporting for Domestic Fuel, and I'm at the Advanced Biofuels Leadership Conference, and I had a chance to sit down with Jeffrey Stroberg, who is the chairman and CEO of REG. Jeffrey, how are you?
Very good. Thank you. Great conference.
It is a great conference, and your presentation was very interesting from not only a biodiesel industry perspective, but I think a biofuels perspective, and that is one of the, I think, the highest cost in biodiesel production is feedstock. And there's always a question of, do you have enough feedstock? Well, REG has been a leader in testing feedstocks and creating biodiesel from feedstocks, and you've actually done the largest study in the U.S. on potential feedstocks. So let's start off and talk about, how has the industry evolved in terms of where you started with feedstocks, where you are today, and where you think you might be going?
Well, I think the industry in the United States started with the idea that we can use soybean oil. And we felt like the soybean prices were stable enough that would create a good feedstock. And little did we know that we'd go into such volatility, not just in soybean oil, but in all commodities, which led us to believe that we needed to have a wider suite of products that we could go to, so that if one was not economic, we would have another that we could go to. And the cheaper the feedstock is, it seems like, the harder it is to convert. So we had to then increase our capabilities, improve our technology, so that we could convert some pretty junky stuff. And that has given us the opportunity then to go into a number of different markets to try and source feedstocks.
Now, today, Jeffrey, what are some of the feedstocks that you're commonly using today that maybe weren't even used 2-3 years ago?
Well, one would be corn oil from the back end of an ethanol plant. And that is difficult to convert. There's some things in corn oil that we don't see in other feedstock. So we had to develop some equipment that's specifically designed to convert corn oil. But the thing that's driving corn oil is the economics are there for the ethanol producer. If they take oil out of the back end of their process, it makes their co-products more valuable. So a DDG that has the oil taken out of it, at least in certain animal markets, is more valuable. So they've increased the value of the DDG, and they get so many cents a pound for the oil. So the economics are driving it. We just had to figure out how to do it.
Now, what about some of these other feedstocks that we hear a lot about? Jatropha, camelina, mustard, pennycress. I know that in your major research undertaking, you tested those. What are the feasibility of those as a feedstock? Well, if our growers grow them, can you as a biodiesel industry convert them in an economically feasible way and produce ASTM standard biodiesel?
We can produce ASTM standard biodiesel with everything that you mentioned. We've tried them all. Whether that's going to be commercially viable or not goes clear back to the farmer that is going to plant it on his ground. Can he get enough tonnage or enough volume off of an acre to make it worth his time, or is he better off planting potatoes? And then the other part of it is what's the convertibility of that feedstock? And they all convert at different levels. So I think we have to look at both aspects. Can you get enough return on the land if it's a land-based product, which is what you've identified? Can we get enough return on the land and still have a product that will convert and compete with other fuels?
And what do you think, Jeffrey, that the next feedstock could be? I mean, after testing it and sort of constantly watching the marketplace and seeing what farmers are growing and the demand, do you have any prediction on what you think you may be using as a feedstock next?
Well, you mentioned Jatropha, and I think Jatropha is a ways away. We've worked a little bit with that. I think there are some other problems with Jatropha as it relates to just producing the product, and then what do you do with in the case of Jatropha, it's truly a waste stream. So I think there's some things that, even though a lot of people talk about Jatropha, I think there are things that will prevent Jatropha from coming on right away. There's some other plants. There's work being done with camelina, and we are now converting camelina oil into biodiesel. I wouldn't say at large volumes. It's been more more pilot plant type conversion. But there's also a group of farmers in the Northwest that are seeing camelina as providing a return on some land that maybe they couldn't get a return on. In other words, it's margin land, isn't high producing land. So there's some opportunities there. So maybe it's camelina. There's work being done in two or three different areas.
So from REG's perspective, I want to end on the fact that you have been a leader in diversifying feedstocks for the industry. You were the first company to start using corn oil, I believe, back in 2007, and the industry is now somewhat responding to the fact you've been able to convert it into biodiesel. So what's your next step? How are you going to continue to lead the way for the industry and really identifying and bringing to market some of these new feedstocks?
Well, one of the interesting feedstock areas that we're looking at is the single cells that convert, that produce high quantities of oil. And those can be grown in reactors. And I think that's going to be very interesting for the industry. It's similar to how we have to grow algae. Algae is going to be grown either in ponds or in reactors. And it's going to take to feed them. But there's a number of single cell or multi cell small organisms that produce oil, and I think that's going to be there's going to be some great strides made in that area over the next 3 years.
Great, thank you.